Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I want to look at verse 27 and through 42. And today's passage, it's really about the hearing of faith and the fruit that we see that is yielded from faith, that fruit which is born from the revelation of faith that our God gives to his children. And we see here that the child of God, they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel and they're going to hear something that they need to hear more of, and they're going to want to hear more, and they're going to come and hear that gospel, and eventually they're going to hear, if they're the Lord's, they're going to hear Christ speaking to them. They're going to hear the Lord himself speaking to them and teaching them. Now, what we'll see here this morning is the fruit of faith that's worked in this Samaritan woman. And you'll notice that she's changed immediately. Right? She's changed immediately. And we see it because she runs off to go and tell others in the city of what she herself has just heard and what she's now rejoicing in. And we'll also see, if we have time, we might have to pick this up next time, but the disciples themselves, they're believers, they're hearers, they've heard Christ now for some time, and yet they continue to hear Christ and continue to be taught of him, so that we see and understand as believers that really we never outgrow Christ and we never outpace him. We never get to a point where we don't need him and that we're not in need of nourishing and refreshment from our Lord through his gospel. Right? So we, from beginning to end, we need our Lord and we need to hear him and receive his words in our hearts so that we're nourished and fed and strengthened by him. I titled this message, "We Have Heard Him Ourselves." We have heard him ourselves. And what we'll do first is look at faith and the fruit of faith, the fruit that's born out of faith. So our Lord, he's concluding his communications verbally with this Samaritan woman there at the well. And look at verse 26 with me. "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." And when he said that, virtuous power, the power of virtue of Christ, flowed immediately into the heart of this woman. It came to her with power, and it struck her heart, and she was affected. She became, in that moment, in that instant, a new creature. Right? Because whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So she was saved in that instant, and she became a new creature. Right? And so, seeing this, we know it's settled. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? So our Savior, he speaks that word into our hearts with power. He is the word of God, whereby this word is made effectual. This gospel word that we speak and that we read here and that we hear, it's made effectual in our hearts by the word of God, so that faith is wrought. And so we see this effectual power working in her heart immediately. Now, the next thing that we see here in our text is the timing of what happens next. And I think you'll notice, like me, when I looked at it, I couldn't help but say, wow, this is sovereign power that's controlling all these fine details, all these little happenings, and the unfolding of this providence is all being worked according to the sovereign power of our Lord. And so you'll notice that right after he declares himself to be the Christ, and faith is revealed in her heart. It's already been sealed to her. It's made effectual in her. She has heard, it's taken root, and she is now the Lord's. Only then do the disciples come. All right, look at verse 27. And upon this, his disciples came, right? Or came his disciples, right? Upon that, when he said those words, and it came to her heart with power, efficaciously, that's when the disciples came. Right? So she's standing there, and she hears the Messiah speak with power in her own heart. And she looks, and there's the disciples, and immediately she begins to bear fruit in the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I can't tell you, you probably all have had this experience yourselves in many different things, but whenever I'm speaking to someone, and, you know, we're talking and having a really good conversation, especially about the Lord, it isn't long before that phone rings, right? Or a baby cries, or some person comes in, you know, unexpectedly, and it gets interrupted. You know, there's so many different distractions that happen in our lives that we have almost no control over. We have very little control over these things. Sometimes we have some, but often we don't have control, and it's like a bird just comes down and takes hold of that seed, grabs it, and flies it away. Right? It's just removed and taken away so that what was being said and communicated there and an interest being born there is lost, and it's gone forever. It's just taken away. And so in this case, though, the bird came too late. That seed had already gone in and found that soil and sunk down and couldn't be taken and had taken root. And it began to spring forth immediately, and it already set its fruit, all in an instant, all with great power and glory going into her heart there. And so fruit is coming. And we read there in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. So, you know, you see this without another word being spoken between the woman and the Lord. Right? Not another word is spoken. And yet it's coming to her heart, and she, you know, the disciples come and she puts that pot down and she goes. She's already beginning to go to the city there. And, you know, it's like you see there, it's like that woman who had the issue of blood when the Savior was walking through the crowd. Such a crowd that were pressing in upon him. And yet he knew immediately in himself when that woman reached out and touched him, wherever it was, when she touched him, he knew immediately, it says, that virtue had gone out of him. He knew in himself immediately that virtue had gone out of him. And so that's what happened here with this woman. He knew immediately that virtue had gone out of him and affected this woman. And so he's staying right there. He's going to stay right there at that well because the fruit is already set. It's going to ripen. It's going to be ripened and ready for harvest already. And so this woman, she sets down the water pot and she moves with haste back to the city to tell the others the good news that she's heard. And, you know, the leaving of that water pot there, it does signify a spiritual work. There's a spiritual lesson there that we see in that. Right? That water pot had to be heavy, especially when full with water. And if she's carrying that heavy load, right, how do you move more quickly? When you're carrying things in your arms and a heavy load, or when you are free and don't have that heavy load? You're able to move more quickly, more agile, and get there quicker. And so when she set that water pot down, it was like leaving behind the watery cares of this life and just leaving them behind, letting it go. And she was relieved of that cumbersome, heavy weight. And so down went her fleshly religion. down went her endless cares of the flesh, and her sin shackles had fallen off, right? So that she was able to move freely with her arms no longer hanging down. And she stretched forth those feeble knees, now having been healed by the Lord, and she made straight paths for her feet and ran to that city to tell the others what she had heard, that good news. Because she now, it's again that spiritual picture, she doesn't need those earthly waters by which she'll thirst again. She now had that living water springing up within her, strengthening her, refreshing her, and so she moved with haste. It's a picture of the hope that we have in Christ. Right? When we're looking at the world, and we're looking at all that's going wrong, because there's always something going wrong in the world, when we look at that and focus on that and fixate on it, it can be very cumbersome. It's a heavy burden, and it's trying upon the flesh. But when we're enabled to cast our eye upon Christ and drink deeply of that righteous fountain, those living waters of our Savior, we're refreshed and light and free and able to serve Him in faith and joy and in gladness. So she's going now on these living waters, and she comes to this village and she declares her salvation to them, in that she declares what Christ has done for her. Right? Sometimes we don't know what to say to people when there is an opportunity. Well, just tell them what Christ has done for you. Right? It's a personal salvation that He's worked in you. And maybe you don't articulate it the way somebody else does, but you know what He's done for you, and no one can take that from you. And so just tell them how he saved you, how He's comforted you, how He gives you hope, that you know that His words are true and you believe Him. And you trust Him. You believe Him and are committing everything to Him. And listen to what she says in verse 29. She says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, when you look at that, right, you just read that, and you know, my religious discerning ear, right, the discerning religious ear looks at that and says, "Oh, there are some things missing in that. Why?" She's not saying, I wouldn't word like that or just leave like that. How is she just saying, you know, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And she's full of joy, and you know, her confession doesn't sound like what you want to hear. Like, I want to hear more. I want to hear her say that she has this hope in these doctrines, and that she understands everything that Christ has done for her. And that's what the religion, you know, the religious Pharisee in me would hear, right? And we all have that, right? We want to hear certain things. But there's no doubt in my mind that the virtue of Christ is now shining forth from her. She's just expressing and declaring what Christ has done for her and the hope that she has now in Christ. It's spilling out. It's oozing out of her. She can't even contain it. It's just coming forth. And I don't know about you, but I dare not quench that smoking flax. Right? There's something there. She's been touched by the Lord. There's something clearly there, and I don't want to be the one that snuffs that out. All right? In Isaiah 42, that comes from Isaiah 42, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Right? There's so many times, you know, I've done it myself. You know, so many times, you know, there's somebody that expresses great joy in what they've heard. And they're rejoicing in what they've heard. I don't know what they heard, but more often in the flesh, we're more willing to close the door and say, "Wait a minute, I better protect this and make sure that you're not in here and you shouldn't be, you know, rejoicing in Christ prematurely. You know, you seem to be very happy and joyful," when in reality, we should be throwing open the door of salvation. Right? The church is here to declare openly what Christ has done for his people. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I know that all for whom he came to lay down his life, they shall be saved. He shall deliver them from darkness. He shall bring them out of the prison and make known to them what he has done for them. And not a single one of them shall ever be lost. Our Savior, he tells us, declare the gospel. Preach it freely. I'll draw. You lift me up and I shall draw all men unto me. All his people, wherever they're scattered, whatever their background is, he is able to bring them out and to reveal himself to them. And so when it says there, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth, he's going to prove his work. If it's not his, it'll fall apart. It'll implode upon itself. It'll come to nothing. And if it is his, he's going to prove it. He's going to bring forth those fruits of faith and those fruits of righteousness that he's purposed to bring forth in his trial. You can be sure of that. It reminds me of what we saw not too long ago in Romans 14, verse 4, where he says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." Right? So when you hear a young believer just rejoicing, and you're thinking, what have they heard? That they're so happy and thankful for what Christ has done for them, for that good word that they've heard, and they're rejoicing in him, before you just squelch it and say, well, we better check this thing out here, and you know, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that, and what do you think about this? They probably haven't thought about it yet. I'm not saying don't encourage them, But I know in my past when I've been thankful and encouraged about things, I've had those things sometimes slammed down. Like, whoa, where are you going there so quick? How are you so joyful and full of joy that you can speak like that? Right? The Lord, if the Lord's done that work for you, rejoice in him and be glad and encourage others that are thankful to the Lord. And we should be thankful and joyful in the Lord, and there will be time, if you're close to them and you're their friend, there will be time to speak continually of our God's sovereign grace and power, able to do whatsoever pleases him. And you know, most people, when they hear that our salvation is of the Lord, they'll agree with it. Now, sadly, a lot of times they'll just stay in dead religion, but if they're the Lord's, he'll draw them out. He'll bring them out in his time. You just be faithful to speak the truth, but you don't have to hammer it down and say there's no way you could be a child of God, because you didn't hear it from me, so you know, you can't be a child of God, right? We don't talk like that, because God is able to make his people stand, and he will bring them out of the whore of Babylon. He'll bring them out of dead letter religion and trusting in the flesh. He will teach them that it's of his grace and mercy. And Isaiah continues there in verse 4. He said, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth and the isles." Right? Those Gentile nations shall wait for his law. He's going to reveal it. They're his child. He's going to teach them. You can be sure of that. And they shall grow and learn more fully of the grace of God for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's quite a blessed moment to see the witness of her testimony just rejoicing before these people in her own words, right, of what Christ had done for her. And it's a joyful thing there, and we should be glad and hopeful when others speak well of the Lord. Right? "He that is with us is not against us," Christ said. So rejoice in that and encourage them. Encourage them, because if they are his, he will teach them. He will add to them and instruct them. All right, now verse 30 says, then, right, here we see this fruit of her testimony, the fruit being worked in them now who are hearing her. "Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Right, so that's a good thing. If they're coming to the Lord, that's a good thing. If they're going off to religion, that's not a good thing. But if they're coming to the Lord and looking to Him and trusting Him, that's a good thing there, right? Now that brings us to our next point here. And I'd like to jump down to verse 39. Verse 39 and 40 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Right? She was telling them of, he pointed out the fact that I had five husbands. He knew I had five husbands. I've never seen this man before in my life. He knew I had five husbands, and he knew that the man I'm with now is not my husband. Right? He's laid me bare and exposed everything. He knows everything about me. Is not this the Christ? So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 whole days. 2 days he stayed with these men and women of the city there in Samaria. And, you know, I'm sure after they began to converse with him themselves, they began to have no doubt. They began to recognize this is no ordinary man. This isn't like the Jews who typically walk through here to get to the other side of Israel. Right? These are not Pharisee. This is not no Pharisee. This is no Sadducee like we've never ever seen before. He's not turned up his nose at us and crossed over to the other side to not be near us. He's talking with us as people, and he's fellowshipping with us and willing to converse with us as we should be with others as well. So he's speaking to them, and so they desired to hear him speak more and more so that they had the testimony of the woman, and they now were hearing what he was saying, and they wanted to hear more. They wanted to be fed and be nourished with the words that this man was speaking. And you know, it's such a comfort for the child of God, like this Samaritan woman, to know my God knows everything about me. He knows sins I've forgotten about, and he knows everything, and yet he still loves me. Right? Isn't that a comfort? He knows our deepest secrets. I'm sure she didn't like people knowing about her marriages and her relationship here where she wasn't even married. She didn't like people talking about it or knowing about it and would have kept it hidden. But now it's out there. There's nothing for her to hide. And that's a relief for the child of God to know God knows everything about you already. There's nothing that you've been able to keep back from him. There's nothing yet that's going to come out and surprise him where he's going to cast you off from him. He knows everything. And yet, he's called you by his grace, testifying to you that he loves you. That's why he's called you and drawn you in faith, looking to his salvation that he's provided for his people. That's why you believe what you believe, because God loves you. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe it. And you'd go off into dead religion and be happy with that. And so, he's provided the satisfaction for your offenses. It's done. It's put away. Rest in him. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him. And let that joy that you have with that blessed thought, let that be known to others. And they may hit at it and strike at it and try and tear you down and make you as miserable as they are. But you keep looking to the Lord and rejoice in him. And if they don't want to hear it, go tell another person. Because there's someone that will hear it. If the Lord's in it, there's someone that's going to hear it eventually. All right? And so, everything that Christ was willing to give to them, they received it gladly. They wanted to hear it and to know what he would say. And so, you know, right there we see even a contrast from the Gadarene, right? When Christ went over there across the sea, and there was that demoniac who was possessed with legion. Remember that? And he was dwelling among the tombs, among the dead, like we all are in our flesh before Christ reveals himself to us. And, you know, he delivered that demoniac of legion. And what did he do? He sent that legion of devils into the herd of pigs, and they drove the pigs over the edge of the cliff, and then were free to go where they would. But we're told there in Matthew 8 about this, verse 33 and 34, that they that kept that herd of pigs, they fled. When they saw what happened, they fled back into their city. They went their way. They ran back to their city, being free. They didn't have to worry about the pigs because the pigs were all gone. Their burden was off them too. And they told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. But with them we hear, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, when they looked upon him and beheld him, it says they besought him not to stay, but that he would depart out of their coast, basically out of their land. They asked him to leave. Please leave. We're terrified of you. We don't understand this, and we don't want to know about this. Leave. And so the primary difference that I could see there in these herdsmen versus the woman is that they had no personal experience of grace. This woman did. She had a personal experience of grace, and it flowed from her. She was bearing fruit, and it flowed from her, because then we see, in contrast to the demoniac that was delivered, we see that same experience of grace as this woman. It says, that man out of whom the devils were departed besought Christ that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away. Right? Not into darkness, but he sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. They've heard the testimony of the herdsmen. You go and you tell them what God has done for you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Right? Like that Samaritan woman, he too went back to the city and told everyone he could, saying, come see a man. Right? He lifted up Christ, set him before him, said, look at this man. This one who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so that's what we do, brethren. We may not be the most articulate. We may not be brave or want to upset people. You know, like I was thinking, you know, now it's like having to walk on eggshells with people. You open your mouth to share some you know, word about something, about, you know, politics or the vaccine or something like that, you might be stepping on a landmine. It might blow back in your face unexpectedly, and you know, you get some trouble. But she went and opened her mouth freely to everyone. She just told them what Christ has done for her without fear of repercussion, without fear of ostracization. She told everyone she could what Christ had done for her, because honestly, they can't take that from you. Right? There are some things we can talk about that other people have another way of seeing it, but they can't take away from you what you see. it just is, right? It's what you see. It's what you believe. And so we could speak of Christ. Now, there may be ramifications, but I rejoice in just seeing her boldness, and it encourages my heart. It makes me want to be as bold as her to declare Christ fearlessly like that and not worry about what others will say. All right? And then we read in verse 41 and 42, and many more believed because of his own word. And, you know, that's a picture of how we grow, right? We've at some point we heard the gospel from someone. The Lord brought it to us and he made it effectual in our heart. And we began to come where we could. We began to hear messages, and we began to come and attend services within the local assembly where we found it. And then we heard. We began to hear more and more, not the voice of the one that first spoke that we were intrigued about, but we began to hear the voice of Christ himself. And that shows us that we're going to grow in him. We're going to hear more and more and be settled and fed and taught more in him. He's going to grow us in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, you know, she spoke that word, and they heard that, and then they heard him speak. And clearly those words were made to them a savor of life unto life. Right? When she first spoke, it came to them as a savor of life unto life. And they went out with her to see this Christ. And in them was born a savor of Christ unto God the Father. Right? He beheld Christ in them and sweetly drew them and blessed them with more faith. Right? He enabled them to hear the words of Christ himself. And that's what he does for us. You that are here, right? And that hear his words, he grows you little by little, much by much. He's the one who grows us and makes us to hear more and more. And in time, as time goes, we remember those things that he's taught us. And he applies them and fits everything rightly, just as he would have us to hear it and know, as he's going to use us in the kingdom. He's going to bless us in that way. All right? Remember, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He's going to work his salvation more and more fully in his people. Right? We are saved completely, but we are being saved, and we shall be saved when he returns. And so we grow in that knowledge of, wow, my Savior has saved me in every way possible. And we see that more and more in times of refreshing. All right, verse 42. And these said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so we have here this little microcosm here, right? This progression of their faith, of their growth, where they're born and they're encouraged and they're strengthened more and more, right? Over those days, they heard more and more. The woman heard more and rejoiced, and they grew together in the Lord. And so, you know, we rejoice in what our God does, and we rejoice as we reflect back and see how our Lord has taught us and dealt with us over these last few years, right? Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so, you know, we might be like this woman, having great zeal and fervency to declare what Christ has done for us. But even still, with all that zeal, that abundance of zeal overflowing from her, there's much for her to learn. Right? Just as to this day, no matter where we are, to wherever we've attained in the Lord, there's much for us to learn. It never ceases, because he's God. He's infinite. He's amazing. And what he teaches us and reveals to us in his Son, in causing us to look to him and ask of him and seek him. So it's not that we should be discouraged, but that we may rejoice to know that we shall ever learn more of him and fall more deeply in love with our Lord and know his love for us. So I've no doubt that she did, but and I've no doubt that that's what he does for us. So I'm going to stop there, and I just pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts.